Welcome back into the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with my co-host Charlie Goldsmith. And Charlie, it kind of feels like it's been a little bit since we've recorded one of these podcasts, right?
I guess this is the first landmark of the season. It used to be the quarter pole, but then you got the bye week. And then it's going to be kind of a marathon after that because we go all the way to the middle of January now. But I guess I see what you're saying there.
Yeah, because we haven't recorded since post-game, when the Bengals beat the Jaguars in that impressive Thursday night win. So I don't know, it just seems like it's been a while, but it really hasn't. There's so much to unpack in this episode. Charlie and I are going to break down the upcoming matchup between the Bengals and the Packers. And when I was looking at the slate of games this week, this is one of the more intriguing games because both the Packers and the Bengals are 3-1 and both are sitting atop of their division. Obviously, the Packers are in the NFC, the Bengals in the AFC, so it doesn't quite matter in terms of potential rankings within your conference, but a good litmus test for this Bengals team. And I think that's where I want to start, Charlie, because the Bengals have certainly impressed in these first four games, minus the Chicago game, but the way they kind of fought back was impressive and the way the defense played. But this is the game where you've seen the Bengals beat Jacksonville, you've seen them beat Minnesota, and you've now seen them beat a depleted Steelers team. This game is going to prove to a lot of people who the Bengals are, don't you think?
I think this is an even bigger test for the offense than the defense. Defensively, I'm just expecting Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense to do exactly what he does. But there is now the pressure on Joe Burrow and the entire Bengals offense, potentially without Joe Mixon, to match that. The Bengals can't get into a deficit like they did against Jacksonville. The Bengals have to just play at the level of the Packers offense. Because the Packers offense will play at the level it has consistently over the past 40 seasons or something, it's up to the Bengals to reach the level that it has kind of rarely. The second half of the Jacksonville game, the matchups against Cleveland last year, the matchup against Tennessee. I'm having a hard time thinking of many more times, many more games where the Bengals offense has performed at an elite level. And that's just the expectation for what has to happen for the Bengals to win on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree with that. And when I was writing my three keys to the game, which will be available on Cincinnati.com here today, I started with the offense because, like you said, the first thing everybody says when they talk about the Packers is Aaron Rodgers. You just expect high quality play from an Aaron Rodgers led offense. Not to mention Matt LaFleur has been a really good head coach, partnered with him, and they have a very solid running game. But I think in order for the Bengals to take the next step, and I know Joe Burrow is not Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not trying to put that comparison on him. He's only in his second year. Aaron Rodgers is in his 17th year, and he's the reigning MVP. But my point is the Bengals' strength is their offense. They've completely loaded up at the receiver position. Joe Burrow's playing as good as anyone right now. In order for the Bengals to be a legit team for people to take seriously, I think they have to go out offensively, like you said, and put up a good performance for four quarters, similar to what the Packers do. So when you know, when I'm playing Joe Burrow, it's not he can be really good at times, or the Bengals offense has the potential to be. No, if the Bengals want to prove themselves as a legit AFC threat, the good teams go out and execute week in and week out, and that's what we've seen Aaron Rodgers do for so many years.
When we were breaking down the Bengals in May and June and July and the dog days, we were saying this Bengals team might need to score around 30 points a game to be competitive. Now, that's not the case because the defense is playing at a higher level than we expected. But this could be one of those games where it takes a transcendent takeover performance. And again, we'll see if the offense is ready for it. They have the talent. They have the quarterback to reach that level. But now it's kind of where it all comes together. Is the offense good enough to go out and win you a tilt by itself?
And the Joe Mixon thing is certainly something to watch because he has been, and it hasn't necessarily been very flashy, but I am very hard. It's hard for me to think that the Bengals can win this game against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers if they don't have Joe Mixon, because I think that's just going to force them into being one-dimensional. And although the Packers don't have their star pass rusher and their star cornerback for this game, I just don't like the odds, because we saw what happens when defenses can just tee off on Joe like they did against the Bears. So I think that is certainly something to watch. Mixon is dealing with an ankle injury. Zach Taylor saying, don't read too much into him not practicing early in the week. They're going to try and see if they can give him some game speed reps later on in the week in practice. And if he's able to do that, he'll go. But if he's not able to do that, he won't go. But Joe Mixon really wants to play. So keep an eye on that one. Let's talk a little bit about defense with the Packers, because although it starts and ends, like you said, with what the Bengals are going to do on offense, defensively against the Packers, they started week one. Everybody was, what's wrong with the Packers? They were held to just a field goal, didn't even score a touchdown against the Saints. Ever since then, they have been on a roll offensively. And I think when you look at this matchup, yes, the Bengals defense has played well, but I think the biggest thing that I think is boding well for this team right now, for the Bengals going up against the Packers, is the fact that they're going to be healthy in the secondary, because Devontae Adams, Robert Tonyan, and even Randall Cobb. I mean, if you give Aaron Rodgers an inch, he'll take a mile. And I think this is going to be a very good test to see just how good the Bengals secondary is. I don't have many questions about the Bengals defensive line. I think they're a legit top 10 unit. Now I want to see what the Bengals secondary is made of.
I think this is the most important game of Jesse Bates' season. We know that Aaron Rodgers will scramble out of the pocket and take shots down the field. We know that Devontae Adams will beat you at the line of scrimmage. And we know that the Packers are going to try to take advantage of both things for big, explosive plays. What Jesse Bates does best is his ball tracking skills, his ability to snuff those out, to cover a lot of ground. There's a reason they call him a center fielder, because he's able to cover enough ground and make the play on the ball at its high points. Aaron Rodgers, aside from maybe Patrick Mahomes, is one of the best at that in the NFL. And this is a shot for Bates to show how much a safety can dictate a matchup against an elite quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. It's a chance for Jesse Bates to make himself a lot of money. And it is a huge development having him back after he missed the first game of his career. There's got to be some emotions for him coming off the first game he ever missed with an injury.
Yeah, and Jesse Bates was dealing with a neck injury, and that's why he wasn't able to play. Zach Taylor said, had it not been a short week, Jesse might have been able to play, but because the turnaround was so quick, Jesse wasn't able to go. But I think I agree with you. I think Jesse's probably looking at this matchup and saying, I really want to prove my worth. Well, it starts and ends with, if you can make plays against an offense that has scored. I pulled this up because I think it's an important part to talk about. The Green Bay has scored since that week one game I was talking about. They've scored 35 points, 30 points, and 27 points. The Bengals are averaging 23 points a game. Yes, the Bengals defense is playing well, but the offense has got to start scoring more early. I went back through all the game books yesterday. The Bengals have scored one touchdown in four first quarters. And when you look at Green Bay scoring, the Bengals defense and Lou Anarumo can have the best game plan that they could ever draw up to go up against Aaron Rodgers. But at the end of the day, he's going to make plays. They're good offense. They're going to score. It's just going to be about limiting those big explosive plays that we've all seen him be so accustomed to making. And when I was thinking about my keys for the game, I said, be ready for the second play with Aaron Rodgers, because like you just talked about, his ability to scramble and how important Jesse Bates is going to be with that. But the Packers offense is built off of their big play ability, and they're going to try and test the Bengals defense with short passes, the run game. And right when they think that the Bengals defense has fallen asleep or taken a step too slow, that's when Aaron Rodgers throws it over your head and bombs it 30 yards down the field to Randall Cobb or Devontae Adams, and then gives that little grin. And that's where I think the Bengals defense is going to have to be on it every single play.
So I thought you made an interesting point bringing up the Bengals points per game. So the number one reason for that, I think, is just a result of how much they're establishing the run. They've taken a lot of pride so far in the fact that there have been just 107 passes compared to 102 runs. That's 50-50. Last year, it felt like it was 80-20 in certain matchups. So now here's the key. If Joe Mixon doesn't play, are you A, going to establish the run without him, which you didn't this season, or B, are you going to turn to your scheme? How much are they going to be able to continue to use some of the six offensive line sets that they've used to establish the run? How much are they going to be able to continue to make play action passes a significant part of their game without Mixon there? How much are they able to continue to chew up the clock without their running back, which has been their most effective method of doing that? It's going to be an additional test for the offense, especially if Mixon's out, because how can they control the game without their best runner, without having the talent to control the running game? It's going to be their most challenging game plan to, again, kind of keep Rodgers off the field. That's why it kind of might have to be a 31-28 game for the Bengals to win. But I just don't see them being able to keep it low scoring and a winning recipe for them this season or this game, because without Mixon, you're just going to have to get so much more creative and get such deeper in your bag of tricks to be able to play the same style that they've been playing successfully over the first month.
Well, a big bonus for the Bengals is if that is the case, they're getting one of their top receivers back in T. Higgins, who has missed the last two games with an injury, and he was at practice yesterday. Looks like he's going to be able to go, although he was listed as limited. Feels like he's going to be able to go. But that's going to be huge, because at some point, people are going to start taking away Ja'Marr Chase down the field, and they're going to give him the attention. And T. Higgins gives the Bengals that other vertical threat, and you saw what Tyler Boyd did. If they try and take away Ja'Marr Chase, they're going to have a day with Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins trying to cover those guys. And this is the matchup that I think the Bengals are favored in. There's not many matchups on the field where I would say I'd give the nod to the Bengals. The Bengals wide receivers are better than Green Bay secondary, and with no question in my opinion. I don't think that there is a single person without Jair Alexander in the lineup that can cover any three of the Bengals wide receivers for four quarters. And I think obviously Zach Taylor is going to try and exploit that, but that's going to come down to the offensive line having a really good game again. But that's also this whole situation with Mixon, and I know you wrote a story about how important he is to the offense, is really going to be something to watch, because you're able to sit back and put more coverage when you know that all they're going to try and do is just beat you over the top. And I'm very interested to see, if they don't have Mixon, what Zach's game plan is going to be, because Samaje Perine and Chris Evans, yeah, I'm sure they could be serviceable, but you just lose so much in the passing game without Joe Mixon. And it's really, I don't think we've ever talked about it this much until now, because you don't quite talk about like just how important Joe Mixon is until he's not there anymore.
The key to it all as well is the offensive line. Because if Mixon's not there, what they've shown this season is that what they try to do when they're not incorporating the run game is they're going to try to have Burrow make plays out in space. They're going to try to have Burrow scramble. They're going to try to establish the play action pass in the screen game. All of that, everything I just said, requires a step forward from the offensive line. I think that against Jacksonville, you started to show signs of that, or they started to show signs of that. I think in the first play, the first pass to Tyler Boyd, which was a play action pass where Boyd leaked over the middle of the field and ran for about 20 yards. I think of the scramble touchdown throw to CJ Uzomah in the fourth quarter. I think of the earlier touchdown to Uzomah, which was a bootleg play to the left side where Burrow kind of had Uzomah by himself on the left side of the field. None of those explosive plays work without the offensive line performing at a high level. Even the zero blitz counter screen to Uzomah to win the game doesn't work without Burrow getting every second he needed from the offensive line. That was when the Bengals were in pass mode. Without Mixon, they might need to be in that exact same mode, and that requires a step forward from the offensive line. It's a really important game for them as well to establish the kind of identity they have to if their running back's not playing.
Well, on the other side of it, the Green Bay's offensive line has been one of the biggest surprises, and Aaron Rodgers has even said so. He said, going up against the defensive fronts we've played, if you would have told me I didn't have your all-pro left tackle David Bakhtiari and you know, so many young players. I mean, the Packers have a ton of young players starting for them this year. They played really well against the Steelers, and it's going to be very interesting to see if the Bengals' defensive front is able to create enough pressure where they're going to keep Aaron Rodgers uneasy all day because, I mean, Pittsburgh wasn't really able to do it that well, and they've got T.J. Watt and a cast of a lot of players who can do that really well. So it'll be interesting to see what Lou Anarumo's game plan is going to be against Aaron Rodgers. But I do remember when I was covering the Falcons and they beat the Packers to go on to the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship, Dan Quinn had a game plan that literally just Aaron Rodgers couldn't breathe. He just could not get out of the pocket. They set the edge so well. They executed their plan of pressure against Rodgers so well that, I mean, it's, you saw it last year when you can get pressure on Aaron Rodgers and take away his ability to kind of make those scramble, non-designed plays. It's going to be a good thing for the Bengals, but I think we'll know a lot about how this game is going to go after the first quarter because the Bengals are going to need to be productive and score in the first quarter for this to even be a game when we talk about going into the fourth quarter. I think for me, my other keys in this game is going to be continuing to feed Ja'Marr Chase. I just talked about how they're going to probably try and take him away at points. He is their big play guy. And when you go back through each game, which I know we both have, he, regardless if he's covered or not, you still got to take your shots to him because I put my money on him to make a play, even if he's double covered. I think that when you look at the way he kind of rallies this team around him, when he does make the plays and the way they feed off of him, I think Zach can't shy away from having at least a couple deep shots to Ja'Marr in this game, not only to test Green Bay secondary, but just for the fact of what it does for this team from an energy standpoint.
Yeah, so far it's been the run game that's been stretching the field horizontally. So again, if Mixon's out, where my mind would turn is this the game where Chase and Boyd really kind of establish themselves on jet sweeps, screens, quick hits on the outside of the field, and kind of turn that into your run game? Because that's one of the elements we haven't seen much of so far this season. It was a pillar of what the Bengals did last season, doing things like giving Tyler Boyd the ball in the backfield, late in the year incorporating Alex Erickson in a similar role. The Bengals this year obviously have the better resources to do that without Joe Mixon. So is this the game again where, you know, Ja'Marr Chase maybe gets 12 targets and Tyler Boyd gets 12 targets? And again, because they're able to turn to the high percentage shots more often because they need to do that to set up the plays down the field. So how they're used and how specifically Boyd and Chase get used to overcome limits in the run game, that's another dynamic that's interesting to me as well.
Yeah, and when you look at the matchups, going back to our initial point about this game being more on the offense, Aaron Rodgers doesn't turn the ball over much. So the Bengals have been able to kind of flip the script of games because they've been able to create turnovers on defense. And, you know, you hope Logan Wilson or Jesse Bates or someone can pick Aaron Rodgers off or create a forced fumble. He doesn't make mistakes. And that's where it goes back to the offense where it's, you have to take advantage of every opportunity to score because on the other end, you can bet he very rarely turns the ball over. And that's what makes it, that much more difficult for the Bengals offense because you got to take advantage of every time you touch the ball. But certainly a big game for the Bengals and Zach Taylor and this offense to show that they can hang with the best of the league, and that is the Packers. They've been to the NFC Championship 2 years in a row now, and Aaron Rodgers seems to be on a little I want to show everybody who I am tour. So definitely a fun matchup here. We're going to get to cover on Sunday at Paul Brown Stadium. And before we wrap up this episode previewing the game, I want to bring in Jason Hoffman to get us set for the rest of what's going on with the league. Talk a little bit of over-unders, our home dog specials, all of the fun stuff we know you've been waiting for. Charlie, thanks for joining me and look forward to breaking it all down with you post-game on Sunday.
Talk to you soon.
Jason, it's been a little bit since we've been able to do this in studio. How you doing?
I'm good. Can't say the same for my current betting streak, but I'm good. I'm good. How are you, Kelsey?
I'm great. Give us the update. Where are you at on your current betting streak?
So we're back to 500.
Okay.
We're still above on money because of those first 3 weeks, the home dogs coming in. However, as upsetting as it is, the home dog streak died last week. We were four games in a row, two in the first week, one each in weeks two and three. And the Minnesota Vikings could not get it done, even though Baker Mayfield looked like Uncle Rico trying to throw a football over them mountains.
Can you believe we're still having this conversation? Are we going to have this conversation about Baker every single year?
So, interestingly enough, I don't think every single year, but we're in week five this week, and guess what I heard driving in today on ESPN Radio?
Is Baker Mayfield legit?
Nope. It's not his fault. He has a partially torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. And since he's never quarterbacked with a harness on his non-throwing shoulder, Dan Orlovsky and others think it was interrupting his timing on his release. So therefore, even though, quote, Baker's a tough guy, wouldn't admit it, they think that was the real problem, not the fact that he's had a suspect accuracy issue since he came in the league and since he was at Oklahoma. No. First time in his life wearing a harness on his non-throwing shoulder might be the issue. And it wasn't Dan Orlovsky. The guy that said that hosts a podcast on ESPN with Dan Orlovsky. And in the comments on our podcast, if somebody knows who that person is, I apologize to that person. But I know that he hosts a podcast with Orlovsky. Anyways, that was what was thrown out there. Rewatching that game, oh boy. That was like Ryan Finley level. I know you weren't here last year to see Ryan Finley try and throw a football.
So I'll play on Monday Night Football, though.
But
against the Steelers.
He did beat the Steelers. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, super disappointed that the Vikings let us down on home dogs. But we're getting back on the winning streak this week. Last week's board was terrible for it. We talked about it. Although the New York Jets, caps off to them.
I know, right?
You good know, Lord. The Tennessee right? Titans, what are you doing? You are so lucky that you're in the AFC South. The worst division in football, and it's not even close. I'll hear arguments for the NFC East, but it's not even close. At least they have the Cowboys.
I know. There's just so much to unpack. We could tape probably a whole podcast debating if Baker Mayfield is a legit top 10, pay him Josh Allen type money. We could do that for a full episode, but we're not going to do that today.
Nope.
I agree with you. Hats off to the Jets. Know a couple coaches on that staff who were on Falcon staff, and I know that they were probably very fired up for that game. And yeah, you're right. Tennessee, yikes, is all I have to say. When I was looking at the game slate this week, there's a lot of really good games.
There is. It's so good.
It
feels like one of those weeks. You know what the super contest is out in Vegas, the mm-hmm. Westgate.
Yeah.
Feels like one of those weeks, and I know I'll be wrong on this because those people are so much smarter than I am. Feels like one of those weeks where, like, the winning percentage is going to be, like, a tip above 500.
And when
someone will get a push and then, like, tie the rest of the games and win the week because the board looked just so even right now.
Yeah, and when I was trying to pick my soccer bet and my home dogs, I went back and forth, like, a bunch of different times, which shows how good the games are. So let's get into it.
All right.
I'll let you kick it off and give us your thoughts so far.
All right. I'm not going to do the Thursday night game, even though I love Seattle getting 2.5 at home against the Rams, who just got exposed this past week by the
Cardinals.
Can't
wait to watch that game tonight, by the way.
I love Seattle. We'll see. People listening to this can make fun of me again in the comments. So let's go. The New York Jets. They are heading to your former place of employment.
Well, actually, they're heading to London. So
well,
that is
sorry,
my
yeah.
former place.
That was
of
the
employment.
That
they're
was going, the yeah. gift. That was the gift that we gave the English folks.
What a
we're
game.
Sending them a terrible Woo-hoo! Product like we do generally
Falcons
almost every
and
year.
Jets.
Yeah. coming off that huge win, Atlanta's giving up 3.5. I like the momentum to keep going.
I
like the 3.5 in that game. It's a -122, so there's not much value there. But I love that extra half point on top of a field goal.
Yep, I agree. I think the Jets can't count them out off this momentum.
Now, speaking of coming off momentum or the antithesis of momentum where you just looked terrible this past week but somehow got it done.
Hold on. Let me try and guess. Give me a description of the city where this person plays.
They claim it's near a city, but it's actually quite a ways away from a city. Oh, sorry. I'm speaking of last week's game. My birthplace.
Oh. Florida. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, you are correct.
Photographic memory.
But there's three teams in Florida.
Miami.
Negative.
Dang it.
But the Fishies are traveling to my birthplace.
Tampa. I knew that.
The Bay of Tampa. Greater St. Pete, Tampa area. Anyways, Bayfront Medical Hospital, shout out.
Lovely.
The Tampa Bay Bucks are laying 9.5, again at a minus 122. Now, that's a lot of darn points in the NFL.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what kind of offense the Dolphins run?
Well, why don't we just phone in one of their coordinators since they have two and nobody seems to know.
Or one of their four quarterbacks?
I think I might have heard that their quarterback coach was actually calling the plays.
Sure.
So they have two offensive coordinators, but their quarterback's coach is calling the plays.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of get-right games, if that Tampa Bay secondary could have looked any worse against Mac Jones – I would have loved to see him try.
Tampa's defense, they literally had me a cornerback. They know Carlton Davis.
I honestly think you could probably – you were an athlete. You could probably burn Richard Sherman right now.
Yeah, thank you.
So, yeah, I like a get-right game all around for the Buccaneers this week. Again, not great value, minus 122. I also like the under in this game because I don't think Miami scores more than 10 points. So I like 35-10 Tampa Bay. Give me the under 47.5 for a minus 108. So we make up a little bit of the value there. We get back to an aggregate minus 110, which is standard. And yeah, I'll take that all day. Get right game for the Buccaneers and Bruce Arians. What say you, Kelsey Conway?
I have a lot of thoughts. So we'll reveal our home dogs later. But my sucker bet game that – I think you might say, are you really going to pick this team? But I think the Steelers, you talk about get right game, the Steelers hosting the Broncos.
I am right there with you. I was going to follow up if you didn't say this game.
Written all over it. I think the Steelers win this game at home, give all their fans a break so they can stop complaining about if Ben Roethlisberger should be benched. And I don't know. I just think these are the type of games where Mike Tomlin's teams find a way to win. Teddy Bridgewater's coming off of the concussion, didn't play. Who knows what he's going to do? The jury's out to me on if Teddy Bridgewater can sustain the play he was having for the first 3 weeks. I think the Steelers are going to win this game at home.
All right. So, A, you stole my thunder.
And by the way, listeners, we do not share notes before this.
Showed her my notes. She said, oh, I prepared this week. I've got something for you. You're going to be surprised. Little did I know. Yeah. So, A, I see this as a letdown game for Denver. Yeah. B, when I saw they were favored by 1.5 traveling to Pittsburgh, and no offense to Denver, they're a lot like the Bengals for me. They haven't impressed that much in their four games. I'm with you. I love the Steelers winning outright. They're getting 1.5 if you really want to play that game. So I see this categorized as a letdown game for Denver and also a home dog possibility for Pittsburgh. Do you have any other home dogs?
I do, and they're not any of those games. So here were my three options that really just stood out to me. The Vikings hosting the Bears, but – I have a hard time picking the Vikings
They got to earn our trust back.
You got to start it from the bottom. You know, Vikings, you got to earn our trust back.
Well, they're favored.
Yeah. Panthers hosting the Eagles. That has, to me, I don't know. I don't know if I believe in the Panthers. I don't know.
And after what you just saw the Eagles do, well, that was Patrick Mahomes shredding their defense. But Jalen Hurts, crunch time, couldn't really get it done. Also, after they were down more than two scores, they just had to throw, which is not his thing.
And then the one that really caught my eye that I'm rolling with, the Dallas Cowboys hosting the New York Football Giants. Minus 7.5 favorite, the Cowboys. That's my.
You like them winning by more than a touchdown.
I do.
In that rivalry.
I do.
Okay. You see them doing the same thing they did to the Eagles.
I think the Dallas Cowboys are for real.
Okay. Mark it down, folks. October 7th, year of our Lord, 2021. Kelsey Conway has declared the Dallas Cowboys are for real.
I do.
Outstanding. I like it. Make have a take. Stick with it. All right. Home dog of the week for me. This is going to sound weird because of how terrible the defense has looked comparatively so far this year compared to expectations.
Kansas City?
Negative. Oh. I like the generic team, the Washington football team, getting 2.5, hosting Famous Jameis and the Saints in what could be a not-so-good weather game. And Taylor Heineke just going out of his mind for one game that nobody's going to see because they're not putting it on any national windows. But I like that getting 2.5. And I like the Washington football team to win outright hosting the Saints this week, which, again, is terrible. Last home dog. I like 3 of them this week. You're going to think I'm crazy. I'm hoping my homie Charlie Goldsmith is with me on this one as well, just like we were 2 weeks ago. Cincinnati Bengals hosting the Green Bay Packers win outright, beating Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. Bengals plus 133. If you bet 100, you get 133 back. That's my third home dog of the week.
Can I ask you why and how you got there with the Bengals beating the Packers?
Correct. Yes, you can. And, of course, you always can. All right. So hear me out on this. Bengals defense gets its biggest test of the year. What have we not seen Joe Burrow do yet as a professional and win? What type of game has he not yet won? Won his first primetime game last week.
Won a game against a top 3 quarterback?
More than that. Joe Burrow has yet to win a shootout. Back and forth. I know you weren't following the Bengals back in the day. You weren't at UC yet. But I think it was 2006, regular season. Phillip Rivers, Carson Palmer combined for like 79 points down at Paul Brown Stadium. Next season, Bengals-Browns combined for over 100 points. It was like 57-53 game. I think Sunday, beautiful weather, wind won't be too bad. Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers go back and forth, comes down to who has the ball last. Joe Burrow engineers a game-winning drive. That's my guess.
Wow. Bengals Beat podcast listeners, that was an unexpected. I wasn't expecting
they're
you to
getting
go there.
3.5. There's way much more value in there. Please don't waste your money on my picks. They're getting 3.5 at minus 125. So there's not great value there, but 3.5 is a great number for that game. I think they keep it close, but more importantly, I think people are going to be entertained and I think there's going to be a shootout on Sunday.
Yeah. I think it's one of the better games of the weekend when you look at it. And I don't think any of us were thinking that when the season started, that this was going to be two.
No, I was thinking this was at least a 10.5 point game.
Yeah.
Heading into the season. So it's a pleasant surprise. That's my home dog of the week.
Okay.
My last one, I should say. And then I'm going to throw one more out there that I like a lot on the spread, not a home dog to win outright.
Okay.
The Fighting Urban Meyers are getting 4.5 points against the Tennessee. Who in the world can they actually beat, even in their division, because they can't close games out? Titans. Fighting Mike Vrabels.
How did they even get 4.5?
What do you mean?
The Jacksonville.
I thought this was going to be a 7-point game. So Vegas knows something we don't know.
Yeah.
They're getting 4.5. I thought the number would be a lot higher, especially given all the drama. I think this is one of those weird weeks where even though players are allegedly laughing at Urban Meyer after he leaves the meeting room, I think the team rallies around itself. He said it's on the players.
I think that Titans are going to whip them.
Did you see what Zach Wilson did to that defense last week?
I do.
And how miserable that offense looked against a Jets defense that, no offense, is way worse than the Jaguars defense.
But I think that every coach in the league right now has now said, I can't be the person that gives Urban Meyer his first win.
Well, you can't.
That's all I'm saying.
You can't.
So I think Vrabel's going to do extra game planning or something this week to make sure that they have dominating performance against Urban Meyer.
I was unaware they went to Scotland and found the doctor who cloned the sheep back in the day and cloned Derrick Henry, because that is the only way Derrick Henry running the ball 57 times.
Maybe that's
what is the only way that offense is running, is moving the ball. They're bad.
I know. And I never really believed in them. So I don't know. That's just an interesting one. I'm shocked by the numbers of that game. But woof, if the Titans don't – if they only win by a touchdown or it's a close game, it's not going to be a good look.
I mean, the Jaguars, say what you will about them, have played all but one game this year close.
Yeah.
So – and no, they're coming right off a mini bye. Yeah. They get the extra 3 days that Coach Meyer. Oh boy.
Good
I'm
morning
sure everyone's
to
seen that.
Good morning to everyone but Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do you want
to? Yep. So, last minute reminder to everyone listening, if you're still here, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Again, all of these picks, this discussion is not professional betting advice. It is not meant to be taken seriously. It is simply for fun. Cincinnati.com and the Enquirer is a subsidiary of Gannett and the USA Today Network, which is a partner with Tipico Sportsbook. All lines come from Tipico Sportsbook, and Gannett may also profit off of its partnership with Tipico Sportsbook. If you or anyone you know has a problem with gambling, please call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.com.
All right, that's it for Jason and I. We'll talk to you guys next week.